In the background, you are hearing Landscape in Obscurity by Vinda Obmana on the Hypnos label. And before that, we started off with The Vinyl Starter by Richard Bermer, a track called Physics from his Fortuna LP, Mosaic, released in 1984. On the phone with me, calling all the way from his home in Belgium, is Vinda Obmana. Hello, are you there?
I'm here, Bill.
Oh, that's great. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Yes.
Let me start with some real quick questions here. Your latest release is Spore, and that's on the Relapse label out of Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, real close to us. I was wondering why this release on this label?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, because I definitely needed a sort of a change in the scenery. Since Relapse is, of course, most of it's hardcore metal music. So that actually, you know, they are not really specialized in ambient in releasing or leaving ambient-related music. Let's say that this way. But, you know, I had correspondence with them already for years because they were interested in releasing a collaboration of me with Asmus Tietjens, a German composer. But unfortunately, that, you know, wasn't established due to label commitments to other labels I had at that time running. So, of course, you know, but we stayed in contact. And from the moment I started to change my music a little bit more to the edgier genre, stepping away from, you know, the more smooth ambient like River of Appearance and, for instance, also what you still hear in the background, Landscape and Obscurity. So for me, that was a perfect, you know, opportunity to establish the connection again, re-establish the connection again with Relapse, and finally create also a shift in the oeuvre I have been, you know, building up to that moment.
So this new direction in music, how does it differ from the atmospheric music that we're so accustomed to hearing from you? And is that something you're going to leave behind, or just is this a new trick in your bag of tricks that you'll be doing everything?
Well, I'm sure that I will never abandon, of course, the typical ambient music I have been doing in the past, you know, the more looping, cycling, minimal stuff. I definitely just still enjoy that, that's for sure, you know. And but, you know, like you said yourself, you know, it's sort of, you know, another step in my evolution as and progression as a musician and as a human being as well. I mean, I feel that I really can't, you know, be at the same place all the time. I feel that I need to experience and, you know, explore new things. And this is also what, you know, Spore and Tremor, in fact, the complete Dante trilogy is about, because I felt that I had the opportunity now and also the experience to work in a musical way with more edgy industrial sounds, which I have been doing. In fact, I have been doing way back in 1984 when I started to do Vinda Obmana. I worked around more industrial sounds. So, but since I wasn't experienced at that time, of course, you know, the creation of the music wasn't really that successful to my personal opinion. But now, you know, being almost 20 years later, you know, of course, I have been building up more experience in the studio as a musician, as a live musician. So when finally I started to realize that I could really go back and take, you know, the interesting parts of that, you know, of that period again and put it in a new daylight. And that's all part of the philosophy I have now, currently I have, you know, also going to the Relapse label, because it will give me a different profile. You know, they will give it, you know, the music will get through to different outlets, through different stores. It will be reviewed in different magazines, while still I have my connection with the ambient world. But I feel that, you know, there is much more going on, you know, outside the ambient world than I feel that I'm, you know, that I'm obliged to limit myself and remain in the ambient world. I mean, in genre like, of course, you know, I still do like to perform for ambient audiences. But let me state that clear here. You know, it's not that I really don't like the ambient world anymore, or I feel myself, you know, arrogant of ignoring, you know, the ambient world. It's just that I need to discover new things for myself in order to progress as a musician and a human being.
I recently read an interview in Progression magazine with Steve Wilson of Porcupine Tree.
Right.
Fans of e-music might not know much about progressive rock, but Porcupine Tree is a progressive rock band. And in that interview, he sounds an awful like says similar things to what you've just said about growing and expanding in new directions, people shouldn't. He doesn't see how people should expect him to do the same thing time after time. He makes a funny quip that if you want to hear a band that makes the same record over and over again, you should hear. I forgot the name now. but there's certain bands that to him all their records sound alike.
Right.
I mean, Osric Tentacles. That's the band. I
see. Okay. on itself, it's not a bad thing. I do. You know, if somebody decides to play, you know, to create, you know, the same music all over again, that is choice. You know. But I mean, you know, they I feel completely in sync with Steven Wilson, because I feel that, you know, you're a musician because, you know, you're passionate about it. You know, I mean, this kind of music you don't do for the money. You know, this is pure passion. This comes from the heart. You know, it's more an obsession than a hobby for me. So, and since, you know, it's such a big part of my life, of course I take the freedom, you know. To explore whatever I want, and if that, unfortunately, doesn't, you know, is to the, you know, expectation of some listeners, that's bad luck, of course, you know, because I still hope that some of the listeners will follow me and simultaneously explore new things along with me. But, you know, of course, you can't predict that, and you can't, you know, force people to actually follow the music and also accept what you're doing now, because I can absolutely relate to it that, for instance, an album like Spore, which definitely introduces a little bit more, you know, edgy, harder sounds, you know, isn't really, you know, the most comfortable album to listen to late at night, for instance, for some people who really enjoyed, you know, the more ambient-related music. But I definitely can relate to Steven, you know, and I know him personally quite well now. And he got in touch with me as well, because he really enjoyed, you know, listening to my music, and that proves it again, you know, that it's all part of expanding the boundaries. Because I do, you know, at this point I hardly listen to ambient music. I really listen to a lot of progressive music, you know, Porcupine Tree, you know, the older Kim Crimson, you know, a lot of new jazz. So it's all, you know, different styles which you can really take, you know, bits and bytes out. In a healthy way, to really get your own, you know, vision established and more matured.
You'll be bringing your vision to the United States very soon, and one of the stops along the way is going to be the Soundscapes concert on April the 19th. What can people who go to that concert, what can they expect to hear?
Well, indeed, it's. You know, we have been planning to come over, of course, for a long time, and, you know, it has been, you know, troubled days, of course, lately. But still, you know, we really look forward to the nice tour we have going. It's a pretty tight schedule, but indeed one of the main, you know, acts, and actually it's with the Soundscapes concert, it all began, in fact, too, you know, the concert this time. So of course that I felt obligated, you know, to, you know, set up a more expansive concert, you know, at Ice House as well. In that term, that, you know, I will definitely perform you know, because that's part of the tour I'm performing or promoting, you know, the spore release on Relapse. So definitely it's going to be a little bit more harsher, a little bit more dynamic, but still, you know, the ingredients, the atmospheric ingredients still will be there, but it's less spatial, it's a little bit more upfront. But for the Soundscapes concert, I really do want to, you know, explore the more, you know, soundscapes, you know, the name says it itself, you know, the more minimal structures as well. So, you know, my intention is to perform two different sets with an interlude between, an intermission between. The first one will be the more, you know, rhythmical orientated music. The second part will be the more minimal atmospheric trance-inducing music, which will definitely grab, you know, back to the style of music some people will know me for. But it also will introduce new different things as well. So sometimes it will be a little bit more dense, it will be a little bit more, you know, atonal, but it still will be in the total field of ambient music, which I have been, you know, recording for now about 20 years.
Sounds wonderful. A couple days before that, you're going to be here on eMusic performing live in the studio in place of the featured CD at midnight.
Yes.
First of all, I want to thank you very much for coming over to do that.
You're welcome, Bill.
Will that be a spore-influenced set, or will that be more atmospheric, being late at night, or what do you have in mind for that?
Not sure yet.
That's an honest answer.
Sorry?
That's an honest answer.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I mean, I've been, you know, now preparing a rehearsal for most of the time for the spore material and a bit of the atmospheric second set for the Soundscapes concert. But still, I have not been really, you know, confident about what I'm going to perform at eMusic. I definitely want to do something different. Anyway, in such a way that it's still related to the concerts I will be doing, you know, at other venues and at the concert, the Soundscapes concert. But still, I really want to do something more, maybe a little bit more intimate, you know, a little bit more detailed, because I know for a fact there will be not really a big audience there, maybe a couple of people at the radio show. So it's still, you know, people will not really, you know, investigate me with their eyes, so to speak, while, you know, in terms of a big, you know, full, you know, concert, you have to, you know, take into account all the different aspects of what a concert actually, you know, is, like, you know, the visual aspect, the entertaining value, you know, the musical value, everything, you know, your presence on stage, everything. You have to keep everything or take everything into account, which is a much more bigger responsibility. Mm-hmm. But at a radio show, you can easily, because it's a listening concert, you can easily go much more into detail. I mean, technical wise, you know. So that you can really, you know, create a little bit more improvisation as well. So I still don't know, but I'm sure it's going to be, maybe it opens with a little bit more, you know, rhythmical sections, but I'm sure I'm going to perform as well a lot of space, you know, a lot of soundscape structures, that's for sure. And of course, you know, one of my trademarks definitely will play some Fujara flutes too.
Oh, wonderful. You're bringing the Fujaras over.
I will bring all the Fujaras over.
Oh boy!
even the big one, which is the second time I'm bringing it over, and never brought it over for a solo concert. Last time I brought it over was last year in May when I was doing the Project Concert Festival and the Gathering.
Oh, with Steve Rhodes.
Yes, that's the first time I brought it over, because you know it. I didn't brought it over the first time I came over with the smaller Fujaras, because I still didn't have the big one in two pieces. Now I have one which I can, you know, rebuild, you know, from two pieces.
You can collapse it down. So you can collapse it down to a smaller size for travel.
Indeed, yes. Now I can easily take it on the plane with me.
Well, what kind of projects do you have going on in the future, that recording projects that you can tell my listeners?
Not much, really. I've been really trimming it down, you know, because I really want to focus again on, you know, promoting more the albums. Because in the past I have been really productive, and that, of course, you know, was a big advantage in a way that, you know, people could, you know, get access to a lot of new music, but it was also a disadvantage, because you couldn't dedicate yourself to promote an album, you know, specifically in detail. And I really want to do that more now, you know, especially with Spore. You know, I've never done so many concerts after each other for promoting one album, because after the tour in the United States, I will tour in Europe. So it's definitely a totally different kind of approach this time. But what is in the pipeline, or what is just released, is I did a really nice, you know, long form remix for a Bass Communion, which is a side project of Stephen Wilson of Porcupine Tree, which is just out on his own label, Headphone Head Dust Records, from the Headphone Dust Records from UK. It's a remix album he asked specific musicians to do for him, which also includes, you know, Rapoon, Mono Lake, Lull, you know, all the little, you know, very diversity of musicians. So that was really an interesting project to do. It's a 20-minute piece I did, so it took me quite a while in the studio to really get it perfect. But what's in the pipeline still is my intention is to work in the summer on the second part for the opera for Fusion Works, which will feature now a soprano sax player, which your name will probably be known to you, Bill. So that's of course in the pipeline at this point, and I really look forward to return to that, because it's going to be totally different from Spore, as you know, and maybe the listeners will know. You know, the first act on the opera work was definitely a different one, and I'm sure, you know, with the performances I have from this saxophone player, it's going to be awesome. I mean, it's going to be a return definitely to the more harmonic, you know, spatial structures. But in a different way, because still, you know, each day you learn, you know, with different elements, different working with different tools. So definitely, you know, it will shape and shift your music eventually as well. So I'm looking forward to return to, you know, more atmospheric pieces with the knowledge I have now. So, but for the rest, you know, I'm working, of course, on the third part of the Dante trilogy, which is called Legacy, which will be the follow-up to Spore. But that's still far away, because that will not be released before, you know, the mid 2004. So I'm taking a little bit more, you know, calm.
Taking, spreading out the work.
Yes, to keep the profile a little bit more detailed and focused as well.
Uh-huh.
Because if you're working on so many projects at once, you're working against a deadline more than against an artistic, you know, need. And that's something I really discovered over the past years. I really didn't feel comfortable anymore with. It was necessary probably to establish myself more like as a musician, to really get out those records, you know, those, you know, tons of records over the past years. But at this point, I feel that okay, this is the moment I really can trim it down and really focus myself on one album a year. And that I feel that's a really nice tempo to go for in the future.
Normally, I make my listeners wait until the end of the program before I announce what next month's special focus will be. But I think by the fact that you'll be playing a concert here on eMusic instead of replacing the featured CD at midnight 1 week, I think my listeners can guess that next month you are going to be the special focus here on eMusic. And as a matter of fact, next week's featured CD at midnight is going to be Act One Echoes of Steel from your opera for four Fusion Works.
Nice.
So we'll stay a little bit atmospheric at the beginning, but I'll prepare people by playing some Spore also during the first hour of eMusic, so that people can get a flavor of at least two of the many sides of Vidna Obmana.
True. I mean, that makes it all more difficult, but as well exciting as well, because I can definitely state I have been, you know, performing in the States now, you know, a few times, and I'm really, you know, really happy and proud of it that I really could, you know, make it work to come over each time. Like, I played two times, you know, in Philadelphia, last year also with Steve in Philadelphia. I'm going to Portland now again. I'm playing in New York. I'm playing, you know, at the Ice House for the Soundscape concert series. So it really has been really wonderful, and I'm really grateful to do that. And I know that people may expect that, okay, Vidna Obmana is coming again, so, you know, maybe I'm not going because, you know, it could be the same thing, but that it's not going to be that, you know, because I really try to all the time when I'm performing live, and even when it's one concert after another, I try to, you know, prepare so many material at once that I can easily, you know, shift from one thing to another. And that also, you know, will happen at the Soundscape concert series. The two sets will prove it, you know, that people will get a bit of everything. You know, it will get very heavy, but it will get also very intimate, very mellow, very sensitive, you know. And that's the beauty of it, you know, performing it live, because, you know, that is actually what Vidnapmana is about. You know, Vidnapmana is something, and, you know, the pseudonym, you know, or the definition says it also, you know, it's optical illusion. So, you know, in a way, you're always being tricked at the moment itself, because you never know what Vidnapmana is going to produce. Of course, it's going to be all, you know, interrelated with each other. You know, it's going to be all part of the electronic, you know, world of music he creates. But still, it's going to be, you know, a bit of a surprise of what it's going to actually going to be. But at the same time, you know, all the releases, all the different kind of genres I have been exploring, it doesn't make it simpler, you know, it doesn't make it easy to finally say, okay, this is what Vidnapmana is about. So people, of course, have to investigate it, you know, themselves, and I think, you know, a concert is the perfect place to start with.
Excellent. And I'm a big proponent of supporting artists by going to their concerts, because...
That I know, Bill.
So thank you for calling in. It's a absolute pleasure talking to you as always.
You're welcome, Bill.